Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm sharing today from a new book that's available at Amazon.com, my own book. It's regarding the rapture or catching up of the saints. I'm addressing the particular theory that's been around for about 200 years and has been made popular via books and movies, even the teachings of certain scholars whose names you would recognize. It's called the pre-tribulation rapture. I'm not representing any church or denomination in the contents of this message, but I believe that the information that I'm going to be sharing with you will make you think twice about this popular teaching. We're going to be talking now. We're in a trial here. We're in a virtual trial, a courtroom scene. And I explained all of that in that last video. I think you'll want to go back to that audio and find out all those details. But let's go to day one. We're in the courtroom. It's called the New Testament Witnesses. We're going to have an opening statement first from the prosecution and the defense. And let's just begin. Here's the prosecutor standing before the group. I stand before the body of Christ today to bring my case against a certain teaching that's been with us for nearly 200 years. I appeal to the truths that have been with us for 10 times that amount, 2,000 years, the truths laid down by the apostles and Jesus himself. I ask for your attention to this matter and for you to do what is necessary to stop the dissemination of this teaching. The subject of this inquiry perhaps needs defining. Much of the definition will be made plain as the case continues, but for now may I offer these initial notes. The term rapture, it's not a biblical word in the strictest sense, but it's come to mean a catching up of the bride of Christ as he comes into the visible heavens to receive her to himself for a seven-year period in heaven. Now that period, according to the teaching, corresponds exactly to a time on earth known as the tribulation. Now, this term is biblical. It refers to what's also known as Jacob's trouble. During this time, unimaginable horrors will fall upon the earth, at least for 3.5 of those 7 years. I'm not going into all of that right now, but you can go with either number you like for the time being. So bad on the earth that it's claimed by these pre-trib people that God would not allow his church to endure all of this. And so he will snatch them out before that tribulation. This is the pre-tribulation rapture. So, obviously, if the snatching were to come after the tribulation, that would be a post-tribulation event. That's the stance that will be taken by this prosecutor in this case. There are many reasons given on both sides, but we'll see them as the witnesses tell their stories. Now, the defense wants to make an opening statement. He says, I believe my brother has stated the case well. I would only add here that many of us believe that this teaching is as ancient as the New Testament, not merely 200 years old. We should also suggest that rapture has more biblical precedent than the prosecution has suggested. And that's all he will say at this point. Prosecutor thanks him and says, we will deal with both of those items later for sure. And so let this trial begin. May God's truth prevail. I now call my first witness. And that witness is the Apostle Matthew. I call an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ by the name of Matthew, formerly a collector of taxes for the Roman government. Matthew, could you state for the court your role in the writing of the New Testament? Now, Matthew says, well, I wrote a history of my Lord's work and words on earth, which was later placed as the first document in the New Testament. Yes, yes, and you were very well qualified for this job, Matthew, We've always appreciated your work. We Jews and we Gentiles. By the way, Matthew, did you intend for only Jews to read and be directed by your book? Well, it's true that much of my writing addresses the Jews, says Matthew. He's their Messiah, it's their ancestry. But the quotations I gave of Jesus' kingdom parables, his Sermon on the Mount, his model prayer for the disciples, his whoever comments, makes it clear that God intended this book to be used for all people who know the Lord. It's especially interesting in this regard that he talked about building a church. We didn't understand it then, but that church would be filled with Gentiles as well as Jews. Yes, Matthew, yes. Now, there were always questions coming from your disciples, you disciples, all of you, to the Master. You wanted to know the meaning of parables. You wanted to know who's the greatest in the coming kingdom. But there was a question that came up at the end of your documentary that seems to have gained the longest answer. And what was that question about? Matthew says, well, yes, I remember that day. We were expressing to the Master all the splendor of the buildings on the temple grounds. Jesus replied so very quickly as to startle us. He said that everything that we were looking at would be destroyed. Just as quickly we responded, when, Lord? When? When will all of this happen? What would be the sign of your coming back, the end of the age? We didn't know what we were asking, whether it was one question or a two-part question or maybe even three, and he didn't specify. When he gave that memorable prophecy that I recorded in the 24th chapter of my book. Prosecutor says, so were your questions really answered? I mean, one question, two, three? Or, could you briefly describe what he said to you and to us? Well, yes, there was an answer. He first mentioned several things that were not signals of the end. He said there'd be false Christs and wars and rumors of wars, entire nations and kingdoms rising against each other, famines, plagues, earthquakes, the severe persecution of believers, false prophets, universal lawlessness, apostasy. Also, those were to happen throughout history. Oh, yeah, well, it would seem so. But then he paused, and he gave us what we had asked for, a true sign that his coming would be near. He took us back to Daniel the prophet and what he, Daniel, and Jesus called the abomination of desolation. We'd been trained in Hebrew school about Daniel's abomination, but we knew it was already past. Jesus was saying that something like this was going to happen again. Something like what? Like the defiling of the temple by some unholy thing. And after that happens, what? Well, there'd be a time of trouble, like the world has never known. More false messiahs, more false prophets. Yes, and then? Well, then, immediately after that time of tribulation, or great tribulation, signs in the heavens, and Jesus would be back on earth. Fascinating. But, Mr. Matthew, aren't you leaving something out? No, that's all he said. But, just before the tribulation, didn't just Jesus tell you that you and the others would be caught up? Didn't he have the church in mind that he expressly used you, Matthew, to record in your 16th chapter? Weren't you and the other disciples to be a part of that church? And therefore, would he not have told you about the fact that you, or at least the church, would be spared the anguish of those days? Well, I guess one would think so, but I'm not aware of any mention he made on that day of a catching up to be with him before that tribulation came. Yes, Matthew, it's as I thought. Brother, while you are here, could you remind the court of any other mentions Jesus made of a coming appearance of Jesus in the end of history? Yes, in my 13th chapter, I record the parable of the tares and Jesus' own explanation of it. He says that at the end of the age, Jesus will send out angels to, as it were, rapture or gather together out of his kingdom all the wicked. It's going to be a wicked rapture, followed by the manifestation of his own righteous ones that are left on the earth. Well, I submit to the court that this seems to be the pattern of all the comings of Jesus that are recorded. There's an appearance in the sky, followed by judgment on the wicked, followed by the setting up of a kingdom for the righteous. Matthew, is there any other subject from Jesus in your book that would lend light to this subject? Well, my 25th chapter talks about how Jesus comes in his glory with the holy angels and sits on a throne dividing good from evil men. And in none of these other passages, Matthew, none of them is there talk of a secret coming 7 years earlier, not even a hint? No, not in my book. You're a witness, and here comes the defense now. Matthew, were there not times when Jesus said things that were only for your ears and not for the rest of us? Yes, that's true. And could it be that Jesus did not mention a catching away because it would not have anything to do with you and the other disciples, since you would be in your eternal home in the last days? I guess that's possible, sir, but nothing about the second coming of my Lord would need to be recorded, if that were true. These were the words he gave me to record, and my understanding is that they are for the entire church. Defense says, I have no further questions. Well, we have a lot of further questions coming up. Next time we'll talk about Mark and beyond. We're going to go through the New Testament, then the Old Testament. We're going to just look everywhere for this pre-tribulation rapture. And I can tell you up front, I guess this I shouldn't be giving you a full disclosure right at the beginning, but we're not going to find it. But you come along and see if that's not the truth. Thank you so much for being here. Do take a look at my other recordings right here on sermonaudio.com/aservant70. There are 3,500 plus audios of Christian teaching and readings covering over 200 topics. Yeah, I hope that you'll join us. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.